Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day in the pickle bar. Led by the outstanding barrels and the dills, indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We have a lot going on today's show. A long list. Sean, good afternoon.
Afternoon. Ready for the weekend, sir. A lot going on for sure. Can't wait to talk to your brother, too, to wrap things up for the week.
Indeed. Brewers Outlet specials between now and Tuesday. Bud Light Orange, 30 packs, $22.97. Michelob Amber Bock, 12 packs, $11.49. A few moments, Brian Tripp. The next half hour, John Crispin. And then off to Minneapolis and Jeff Byers on Penn State Wrestling. And then, yes, the dessert of the week. Who might that be?
Imported from South Windsor.
And never sent back.
That's right.
So we'll have the king on to the end of the show. Big basketball day tomorrow. You got Michigan State, Michigan, then you have Duke, North Carolina. Will Wade, it took them long enough, finally suspended at LSU. It's amazing how the words Federal Bureau of Investigation wiretap kind of box you in a bit. And Coquise Washington, by the way, they came to an agreement that she will not be the head coach of the Lady Lions. All right. We'll take a break. We'll talk hockey in a moment. Big Ten tournament opens up at Pagula tonight with Penn State taking on Wisconsin today. Brian Tripp, the voice of Penn State hockey, next on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
That commercial for Imagine Dragons, for Alexa, whatever it was for.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the holiday party who got up on the table and started doing that?
Oh.
This is awful.
You brought it up again.
Even Roger wanted to leave, and it was his party. All right, so
let's take it down the street.
All right, let's talk hockey, because the Big Ten tournament starts tonight, and they've gone to home sites, and Penn State will host a best-of-three series with Wisconsin. Game 1, 8 o'clock tonight. Game 2 at 6 o'clock tomorrow night. And if necessary, Game 3 Sunday night, all in Pagula with tickets available. We bring in Brian Tripp. Tripper, great to have you with us again.
I feel like we just did this.
Yes, we did. So, look, all the questions I asked you last night, okay, just give the same answers.
Just sit back, Steve. Enjoy your coffee. I'll take the next 15 minutes.
Perfectly fine.
I remember them all right off the top of my head.
Perfectly fine. I want to ask you, though, about Chase Berger and the Iron Man part of it. Mm-hmm. Seniors get to a certain point, and they can see the finish line of the career, and they want to delay the finish line as often as possible. Has he played that way?
I think he's been really consistent throughout his whole career, but you'd be probably mistaken if you didn't notice a little uptick over the last 2 months in the way himself, Alec Marsh, Kevin Kerr, I think all the seniors are starting to see it here down the stretch. The thing that's impressive about Chase is he's such a great player on the ice. He's a good player to have in your locker room off the ice, the type of person you want representing your team in the community as the captain. So the Iron Man part and the consistency is really big. But if you don't notice it with a senior, sure, I would say there certainly is some uptick in what he's been able to achieve on the ice. And you just see that little extra passion and fire every time a senior takes the ice in the final semester of their career.
You're not going to be able to win at this level now unless you can get a really solid goaltending performance night in and night out. How well has Peyton Jones played down the stretch?
I think his numbers probably don't indicate how good Peyton has been. There have been some games, and especially the way Penn State plays, you're going to ask your goalie to do a little bit more than maybe some other teams do. There have been some games where he's allowed 4, 5, even 6 goals, and I don't think that necessarily is indicative of the performance that he's had. Last weekend at Notre Dame had Cale Morris in net, goalie of the year in the nation last year, national goalie of the year, and I thought Peyton outplayed him last weekend. Yeah. So I think that speaks to how he's peaking at the right time. He has great numbers in the Big Ten tournament. He's always been a guy, when you need a big save, he's going to come up with that big save for you. And I would say the last month and a half for Peyton has been the best he's played all year.
He's always been the calming influence back there. How much has that helped the defensive groupings that he's that kind of guy, that kind of personality?
Yeah, I like his mentality. I think that might be the best thing about Peyton is if something goes wrong, if a guy turns the puck over in front of him or he gets stuck with a breakaway, having to make a big save or an odd man rush, he's not fazed by it. I think that's the presence that he has in net. He's a junior now. He's been a 3-year starter. To have a guy that's been around the block that long, that's certainly a calming influence on guys in front of him. And they know, they have the confidence in him that he can make a big save when they need it. And then likewise, if Peyton lets in a goal that maybe he feels like he should have back, he knows that his teammates are going to bail him out. So I think I'm with the rest of his teammates.
All right, and you talked about synergy, and this is something we talked about last night, changing up the defensive pairings, putting a power defenseman with a speed defenseman. What kind of difference has that made for Penn State?
I think it's given them a little more rhythm defensively. To have a guy who can move the puck on each pairing, it allows them to play the offensive style they want. And I know we talked about this last night too, but when your offense is complementing your defense and your defense is complementing your offense, that's when you're at your best. You're a well-rounded team. And I really feel like that's what they've been able to do, putting Evan Bell back there with Chris Mullary. Kevin Kerr and Alex Stevens have played really well together. And the plus-minus numbers indicate that as well. So it's not just an eye test right now that they're passing, but statistically, Alex Stevens has been able to generate a little bit more offense playing with Kevin, so that helps bring that game out of him. And then I think you're seeing Kevin Kerr and Evan Bell more reliable inside their own zone by playing with guys who block shots and have that tough physical presence. It's been a real mix now, instead of having, all right, that's your one lockdown pair that you know is going to block a ton of shots, but they might not move the puck as well. To have different flexibility and options, especially how deep some of the teams are in the Big Ten, it just gives Guy and the ability of the guys to go out there. It allows him to tinker and allows the guys to go out there and play their game regardless of who they're with on the ice.
Penn State likes to tilt the ice. And look, let's face it. I'm somebody that's a great believer in a lot of offense, because if you have a lot of offense, you're making the other guy. But how has Penn State, though, been in transition? Because they have been as offensive-minded as usual.
I think that's where they're at their best. They can create 2-on-1, 3-on-2 situations out of any situation from inside their own zone. The defensemen deserve a lot of credit for that. I think Cole Holtz has been excellent at leading rushes and getting that pass up to the forwards. But then the forwards, it takes work. It's not just them standing there and waiting for a pass. They have to work to get open. They have to work to create space. And that's them busting their tail out of their own zone and making a commitment. When the defense has been better, the forwards are a part of that too. It's just not the 6-7 blue liners that they dress. It's all 3 forwards getting back and back checking, making a commitment on that end, and then still having the tenacity to work their way up the ice, finding an outlet, finding a seam where their defensemen can see them. So it really, that's the part when I talk about complementing each other. People want to point to just the defenseman or the goalie when the goals against numbers are high. Well, the forwards deserve some blame for that too, about getting that third man back or that one high winger back, preventing odd man rushes the other way. But then when they get back to still generate the offense and the 40-plus shots, the 5 goals per game that they've been able to do, I think that's a real credit to those guys at finding themselves seams, giving their defensemen out of their own zone an outlet to find them in the offensive zone or in the neutral zone and get those passes up the ice where they can use their speed, their skill, and they are such terrific finishers. I think that's really been a strong suit for them.
Wisconsin finished open the door for Penn State to end up hosting this thing, 8 o'clock tonight, 6 o'clock tomorrow. But Penn State just played Wisconsin. So fresh off of that, what worked and then what would concern Penn State about not working?
Yeah, it was a tale of two games 2 weeks ago. Penn State won on Friday, 8-2. I thought it was one of their most complete games of the year. I believe you texted me after and said, wow, what a great game last night.
Yeah, I did.
And everyone was really confident going into Saturday. Penn State just never found its legs in that game. It was one of those games where Wisconsin took the lead early, and Penn State didn't look like itself in the first period, and you're kind of wondering, all right, let's get into the second period and just see. Eventually, things are going to click, and they never did. Wisconsin deserves a lot of credit for that. They're a very skilled team. They get a lot of offense from their defensemen. They were embarrassed that night, and they're on a 3-game winning streak now. So that wasn't a flash in the pan. They went home and beat a good Michigan team twice last weekend in overtime. They're getting scoring from all 4 of their lines. Linus Weisbach's a really fast player, averaging about a point per game this year. He's a forward to watch for them. Matthew Freitag's having a strong finish to the season. Sean Doogie, who's all of about 5'3", 5'4", he's been scoring more for them too. So they have some speed, and I think that can give Penn State some trouble. The way their defensemen can move pucks and the way they can generate offense can give Penn State some trouble. But if Penn State plays its game the way they did in the Friday night game of that series, then I thought Penn State played really well last weekend at Notre Dame too, even though they split. If Penn State brings its A game, I believe this is a team they feel like they can and probably should beat, especially playing at home. And that would be making Wisconsin's defensemen move pucks quickly into areas where they're not comfortable. If Wisconsin can manage the puck, that's how they could come on the road and have success. But if Penn State's applying that forecheck, using that speed and transition like we talked about, Steve, defensemen moving the pucks and playing, as you said, tilt the ice on them, I really like the matchup for them. Plus, Penn State has the junior goalie who's been around the block, has excellent numbers in the postseason, and Wisconsin still has a freshman goalie who has not been around the block. Playoff hockey is different. It's the same as the NHL. As intense as all the Big Ten games are, once you get to the playoffs, there's still a sense that, okay, everything, including the season's on the line now.
Which then brings up the final point. Has Penn State been a team, in your opinion, that when they get somebody down, and of course the Notre Dame thing on Friday night obviously will come into play in the answer, but had the ability to just take somebody, put them on the ropes, knock them out?
First semester, no. Second semester until Friday night, yes. I thought that was one area they really improved, that they had a killer instinct and a killer mentality. So I was surprised to see them allow a 4-1 lead to slip on the road at Notre Dame on Friday. That being said, factors I think you could identify early in the year where maybe they became rattled or didn't handle adversity well during games, couldn't sustain offense. For example, their game at Wisconsin, they were up 5-3 earlier this year. Things just didn't click. I thought they still played relatively well in the third period on Friday at Notre Dame.
Right.
I think that maybe was just an example of an even hockey game that evened out in the third period.
Yeah.
I really felt like they didn't play poorly. So I don't want to say that's a game that bucks the trend, but again, that does raise a little concern because it was an area that they struggled earlier in the year.
Again, students are not here, so keep that in mind. 8 o'clock tonight, they'll drop the puck at Pegula in game one of the best-of-3 series. Game two is 6 o'clock tomorrow evening at Pegula, if necessary, 6 o'clock Sunday.
Yeah. Tickets available, Steve, so I know they're in the community. You always hear, oh, I'd love to go to a hockey game, love to come out to a hockey game, but tickets are, they're hard to get. But this weekend, because they aren't here, their tickets as low as $10 still available. Right. Even for tonight, you can probably get them at the door even tonight.
That's great. Brian, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. Have a great call this weekend.
And you too, Brian. Brian Tripp, play-by-play voice of Penn State men's ice hockey. The next half hour, John Crispin will talk basketball, the Big Ten. Third half hour at 4:06, we'll go to Minneapolis, and Jeff Byers will join us from the Big Ten Wrestling Championships, where they get the thrill of wrestling on the raised floor at Williams Arena. Yeah, there's no greater thrill than that. The Big Ten ought to kick in and tell them, hey, look, you know what, lower that thing, will you? People flying off the floor, it's ridiculous. Yet, in the NCAA tournament, they play on a raised floor. I mean, go figure. Okay, great to have you with us on the show today. The Will Wade situation at LSU, he has been suspended. Took them long enough. Normally the words Federal Bureau of Investigation wiretap usually does take, quote, plausible deniability out of the equation. A lot of you probably have not heard of Will Wade, don't know much about him, don't know much about his career. You're about to find out more. And LSU had, you know, look, they had to do it. Number one, it's a wiretap. Let's start with that. Number two, you're going to have the SEC tournament next week. What do you have to do with the SEC tournament? Oh, you have to have a press conference. Okay. They're going to make the NCAAs. When you go on site for the NCAAs, guess what you have to do? Oh, have a press conference. Think anybody's going to ask you about your guard rotation? Anybody at LSU naive enough to think that that's what the questions are going to be? And he has been suspended indefinitely. The other note is that Antonio Brown, they thought they might have had a deal with the Bills, but that's gone by the boards. And so far, he is still a Pittsburgh Steeler. That's really good news for you.
We're ecstatic about that, yeah.
You still have your go-to guy. That's your go-to guy. Without him, how can you succeed? I love it. I was listening to some comments like, oh, how's Josh Allen going to be able to react as soon as Brown gets on his case? Okay, here's one for you. All right. Do you even know Josh Allen? For all we know, Josh Allen is a guy that if Antonio Brown said to him, you know, give me the ball, what's wrong with you? He might, oh, yeah, okay, and be deferential. Or Josh Allen could be the kind of guy that says, shut up and get in the huddle. You know, none of you guys, nobody knows that. I always love when I hear comments like that. You're making comments about people you know nothing about. So nobody has any idea how he'd react. He might be in the fetal position, or he might look at him and say, look, I'll throw it, you catch it, get out there.
Steelers management holds the cards in this thing, but the problem is Antonio keeps talking and talking, and who knows what other media tour he's got planned for this weekend. It just seems like the more he talks, the more difficult it could be to deal him.
Look, do the Steelers hold the cards? I mean, seriously, I mean, they're in a spot where everybody's looking at them and saying, well, you have to deal them, so we're going to lowball you.
Attention Central PA truck buyers. SMT is where you want to be in March for the largest truck sale in their history. Choose from over 125 new Ford trucks with savings up to 15 grand. Sunbury Motors has new Ford F-150 4x4 crew cabs priced as low as $39,619. During Sunbury Motors' 71st annual new Ford truck sale, every new F-150 will come with a complimentary accessory package. This $800 accessory package includes a tonneau cover, wheel well liners, and all-weather floor mats. The much anticipated all-new 2019 Ford Ranger is available in both Super Cab and Crew Cab and is now in stock at SMC.
And it doesn't end there.
Take $6,000 off new Ford Escapes, $7,000 off EcoSports, and up to a whopping $8,000 off Ford Explorers. With four city blocks of new Fords
and over a century of automotive experience,
SMC is where you want to be in March during this historic 71st annual new truck sale. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Great specials now through Tuesday. Bud Light Orange, 30 packs, $22.97. Michelob Amber Bock, 12 packs, $11.49. Wine coolers, water, soft drink snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up for the weekend now. Great to have you with us. Great to have Sean alongside.
Thank you, kind sir. I'm going to throw in a quick wrestling update from Hershey. Shikellamy's Cade Balestrini lost in the quarterfinals earlier today to Kenny Herman of Bethlehem Catholic 5-1. So Balestrini's now in the wrestlebacks. Next up, he'll take on Zach Martin of Neshaminy. And for Sewens Grove fans, you still have Nate Schoen in the mix. Nate's at 220, the sophomore. He'll be wrestling in a quarterfinal bout later. So if he wins that, he'll be guaranteed a medal for sure. Steve Williams is at the Giants Center. So depending on how tonight's events shake out, we could either be live with AA tomorrow afternoon on the .com or tomorrow night with the AAA on both 1070 AM and the .com. So we'll keep you posted as we get closer.
We'll get to collegiate wrestling in the next half hour with Jeff Byers in Minneapolis. All right, so I was just with this guy on his show on Sirius XM, John Crispin. Johnny, great to have you back.
If you're looking for the sophistication to be elevated now, you already peaked, man. You're like me in high school. I peaked in high school. I'm done.
Hey. When I was on with this last Thursday, I had your back on the Shining Moment thing. Jansen didn't know that.
Yeah, he didn't know. He's not one of the initiated. You know what I mean? Like, he's a Michigan guy. All he cared about was the fact that Michigan wasn't as far as he made it. That's all he cared about.
Exactly.
He couldn't let me get my shine. He's just throwing shade.
I know. That's what he does. You know, like Bo always said, he's a Michigan man. All right.
That's right. Hey, it's okay.
Hey, at this time of the year, you do a lot of preparation, but at this time of the year, now the feel for the game comes in for you. As you've watched the last couple of weeks, getting a feel for where everything is based beyond just the stats, what are you seeing right now in this conference?
Well, you know, I see a lot of vulnerability at the top, and that includes Michigan. You know, Michigan's a team that at times looks like one of the best teams in the country, but to me, because of the lack of offensive consistency and continuity, and really a lack of offensive chemistry, they're very vulnerable. The teams that are the teams to watch, so to speak, you know, if you put quotes around that, are the teams that no one really talks about on a national level. But within the conference, it is Penn State. It is Illinois. It's Indiana. It's all these teams that were really on the outside looking in, and in many ways still are when it comes to the NCAA tournament. But that's ultimately what really defines the Big Ten this year. It's not the top to bottom like every other conference out there where we look at the ACC and say, they're great. Look how great their good teams are. No, we look at it and say, look how good the perceivable basement is in this conference. That to me defines the season as much as anything else in the conference this year.
In fact, when we were talking about this last Thursday, somebody brought up I think the top of the ACC has a chance to be spectacular. The problem is the bottom is not very good at all. That's why the Georgia Tech NC State thing was such a wrench.
Yes, I mean you think about the ACC, and are they really as prepared for the NCAA tournament as maybe somebody from the Big Ten would be? Or are they rested well enough where they're just going to be able to cruise and just kind of play their own game? I think in many ways some of these power conferences look a lot like the West Coast Conference, where you have some elite teams. And at times we can get together be elite, you know, top 25 programs. Mm-hmm. Right now it's just Gonzaga and everybody else. So in many ways, some of the Dukes of the world, it's hard. I think UVA is another one you have to consider. I think they're one of the best teams in college basketball, where they've been able to focus on getting better. And it reminds me so much of the West Coast Conference this year. Not so much in the Big Ten, though.
You mentioned Virginia. Virginia, of course, and Tony Bennett picked this up, obviously, from his father, and that is the pack line defense.
Yeah.
What's the pack line defense in your – I mean, as an offensive-minded person – yes, John Crispin, you are an offensive-minded person.
Yep.
What makes the pack line defense, in your opinion, a tough nut to crack at times?
Well, first and foremost, if you're an offensive person, what that really means is you need rhythm to shine. You really do. You need rhythm to be able to get up and down the floor, to have confidence in the shots that you're going to get. And what that pack line does initially is just eliminates rhythm from the game. It allows you to move the basketball, but only in ways that they dictate. They don't allow you to move the basketball inside the paint. They don't allow you to move the basketball in short corner areas. They just don't allow those things to happen. So it eliminates rhythm from the offense right off the bat. And then it's a it's a defense that in many ways is safe on the surface,
yeah,
but is incredibly disciplined and requires significant levels of execution to be able to have those type of short rotations that the pack line looks for. The pack line doesn't want long rotations. The pack line doesn't want long closeouts. And that's what so much of the defense is predicated upon. It's controlling where the basketball goes and being there in position to defend it.
So,
you're not going to get a ton of steals, but it's a safe defense that just doesn't give you anything easy.
See, I also think the way they float, especially at the wings, the way they float their guards, they rush you. You think, okay, I'm finally open, and you're rushed.
Yep.
Because you and I both know the closeout, because of the way the pack line is, the closeout is actually a relatively short distance.
Yep.
Right, and that's...
Look, it's all about playing defense early. I mean, the best post defenders play defense early. That means they play position defense, not defend the ball. And if you can eliminate the need to constantly defend the ball, whether it be in a ball screen situation by having help in position or eliminating that long closeout that leads to another drive and kick and puts you as a defense in a scramble mode, you're going to have success, and it's going to be really hard to score against. The challenge is when an opponent makes tough shots and takes a 10-point lead, what then happens? I mean, we saw that last year. Opponents just made tough shots, and what happens? They end up losing the basketball game against a really inferior team.
Well, the game of the weekend is going to be obviously Michigan State, Michigan nationally. Michigan, and both teams are banged up. Ward, left-hand shooting hand. Of course, Lankford's been out for a while and won't be back. Arnes has a bad back. And then you flip it to the other side. Matthews has a boot on a team that has no depth. I mean, that's the thing about Michigan people forget. I mean, in a three-day tournament, can their depth survive because they don't have enough people? How do you look at the game on Saturday night?
Well, first, you got to take the game as itself. If you're John Beilein, if you're Tom Izzo, you can't even look at the Big Ten tournament yet because it's just a completely different beast. So you got to look at the game in and of itself. So I would expect to see seven guys play consistently for John Beilein, and he may get 8-9 in the game.
Right.
But ultimately, if you go back, John Beilein likes 7-8-man rotations. He wants guys to develop a chemistry and a continuity on the offense that he hasn't really been able to find. And frankly, Charles Matthews has been a bit of a question mark this year, particularly on the offensive end. He's a great defender.
He's a wild card. I think he's a wild card.
He's been a wild card. And, you know, a lot of that has to do, and people want to say anything that you say in their favor when they're struggling is an excuse. No, there's excuses, and then there's reasons. And the reason I have for Charles Matthews' struggle is Iggy Bradsdakis is getting the matchups that Charles Matthews got last year.
That's right.
He's playing the four spot.
Yeah.
And Iggy, what's he done? He's had a fantastic freshman year. So if you put Iggy Bradsdakis at the three and Charles Matthews is playing the four, which is a non-switch position, you would not switch a guard onto Charles Matthews.
Right.
It's a non-switch position. You're going to get the matchup. So I just think it's taking time for Charles Matthews to get comfortable. But right now it's going to be up to Isaiah Livers.
Yeah, and Livers is a terrific guy off the bench. Now we'll see what he's like as a starter. All right, Penn State 6-3. It's last nine. They won four of their last five. The one they didn't win was the one you were at. I will not make a comment beyond that. But what have you thought watching them in the last few weeks?
Well, it's impressive. And here's, I guess, here's the positive, but there's also a criticism in here. They play great when they're 0-10. That's just the truth of the matter. I think we've seen that over the years. When they get down, they know how to kick off the training wheels and just play freely, but they struggle when it gets close. And I said, watching that Rutgers game, I said, Rutgers is going to make a run and Penn State's going to get tight. Like you could just see it coming.
Yep.
They thrive when they're confident. They thrive when they're fearless. Now, the challenge then is how can you bottle up that fearlessness? How can you bottle up that confidence? And I think it's got to start really early in the season. I mean, practice. You have to almost coach as if there is no fear. And no fear doesn't mean no boundaries. That's the thing. I think at times there are no boundaries, and it looks like fearlessness. It's actually just foolishness. So you've got to find that good balance, because when they found the balance, and that was after losing 10 straight, kind of you say, hey, back's against the wall, left to lose, we got all the talent in the world, let's just go play. And they've always maintained a high level of effort. It's never been a question. Now they look great. I mean, they look like an NCAA tournament team. They look like one of the most dangerous teams in the conference. Not a single team wants to play Penn State in the Big Ten tournament. And it's because they're fearless. And they've also established some level of boundaries for the guards around the perimeter, which have allowed Lamar Stevens to be one of the best players in the conference. And I really hope he gets the love and attention that he deserves. He is by far one of the top five players in this conference.
Yeah, no, he is, and he's played that way, and everything was tilted toward him. And there's no question. You look at Penn State in the second half of the game. The first half of the game against Rutgers, they can't be any better at both ends of the floor.
No.
In the second half, look, I mean, John, you know this on the teams you played on. I mean, that 2000-2001 team, when you got somebody down, what did you do? You put your foot right on the throat and got him out of there.
You wanted the whole thing was, I always said this when I transferred to UCLA, one of the most disappointing things that I experienced when I was at UCLA was I told the guys, I said, when I was at Penn State, and this was a lot of locker room meeting, I said, when I was at Penn State, we made it a point within the first 5 minutes of the game to make sure whatever big boy blue blood we're playing knows that we're not rolling over, that we're going to win the game.
Yep.
Like that's how we played the game. I said the frustrating thing here at UCLA, you have the opportunity as one of the blue bloods to go out there and show whoever the opponent is that we're better, that we're going to win this game and we're going to go dominate this basketball game. We never had that. It was an energy, an emotion, a belief, a confidence that we had at Penn State that was so special. It was based on experience, but it was also based on personality. We had the right leaders on the floor. And I think that's been a challenge for Penn State. Lamar Stevens is not that vocal guy. He's not that grab you by the throat kind of leader that, hey, frankly, my brother and Titus Ivory were. And I think that's missing when you have so much youth. We see guys like Josh Reeves, Mike Watkins, Lamar Stevens. These are experienced players. But it's the guards who have the ball in their hands. It's the guards who set the tone defensively. Yeah. Those guys have to be the leaders. And if you're not, you've got to find a way to develop it. And that comes from being held accountable, holding yourself accountable, establishing expectations for yourself and for team. It's really hard to do as a freshman, and you only can do it if you're truly sincere. Guys like Titus, guys like my brother, they were as sincere as it got. And it was hard to ever question them.
How is Rowan doing, by the way? How'd they do this year?
Rowan did great. They won the NJAC, so they won their conference. That's hanging a banner in the Division III world.
Yep.
They made it to the NCAA tournament. They host the first round of the NCAA tournament, won their first game, lost their second. They just got outplayed. And you know Joe well enough, it's a fun style of play.
Yeah.
It really recruits itself. It's a style of play that, I mean, while it seems crazy, we were crazy the way we played back in 2000, 2001.
No.
We were crazy. People thought we were nuts.
No.
The way we shot the three. Well, look what's happening today.
That's today's game.
Are we so crazy now?
No.
Or were we the trailblazers? So that's the thing. Like, the way he plays, it's a lot of run and jump defensively. It's a lot of free-flowing offense. It's less sets, more offensive action. And quite frankly, I think he'll only truly succeed once he gets to a higher level and has the players and the practice time. And you got to think about that. You don't have practice time when you're in Division III because kids are paying to go to school there, and they also have to work.
Right.
So very rarely so the details are often lost. I'll tell you, when he gets to coach at a high, high level, it's going to be fun to watch. It really will be, because his principles are sound. His style is fun. It'll recruit itself, and it'll put people in the stands. It just really comes down to being able to give the time to the details to win at the higher levels.
Well, he's fun to watch, and you are fun to listen to. John, thanks so much. Look forward to seeing you in Chicago.
Yeah, my pleasure. Looking forward to be a great week.
John Crispin. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet.
Attention Central PA truck buyers! SMT is where you want to be in March for the largest truck sale in their history. Choose from over 125 new Ford trucks with savings up to 15 grand. Sunbury Motors has new Ford F-150 4x4 crew cabs priced as low as $39,619. During Sunbury Motors' 71st annual new Ford truck sale, every new F-150 will come with a complimentary accessory package. This $800 accessory package includes a tonneau cover, wheel well liners, and all-weather floor mats. The much long-anticipated all-new 2019 Ford Ranger is available in both Super Cab and Crew Cab and is now in stock at SMC.
And it doesn't end there.
Take $6,000 off new Ford Escapes, $7,000 off EcoSports, and up to a whopping $8,000 off Ford Explorers. With four city blocks of new Fords
and over a century of automotive experience,
SMC is where you want to be in March during this historic 71st annual new truck sale. Sunbury Motors in the North 4-Speed Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Great to have you with us on the show today, brought to you by Brewers Outlet. You know, spring football starts next week for Penn State. Day one will be on Wednesday. You know, you look at what Penn State's accomplished over the last 3 years. Do you realize there are only six schools in the country that have finished in the top 15 in each of the last 3 years? Only six. Obviously, it's Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Washington, and Penn State. They're the only six that have been in the top 15 in the college football playoff final rankings the last 3 years. The only six. And Penn State has wins over two of them in that three-year span. Ohio State and Washington didn't get a chance to play against the other three. So that's where Penn State has ascended to. Penn State has ascended to that level of consistency where obviously you can get a graph that is up and down. But in the last 3 years, only six schools have finished in the top 15 in the college football playoff rankings, the final college football playoff ranking. Obviously, Alabama, justifiably so. Obviously, Clemson, justifiably so. Oklahoma, Washington, Ohio State, and Penn State. Those are the six. So I have 130 programs out of 65 Power 5 schools. Those six are in the top 9% of Power 5 schools in terms of where they've been ranked when you take the last 3 years. The only six that have accomplished that. Others may have had a peak year that was better than Penn State. Others from that peak year but then haven't. It's that level of consistency that those six have had. Alabama and Clemson, of course, having that level of consistency that's jaw-dropping. But I think it's something that is... let you know how far they've brought the program back, because it has been a process to get it there. You know, there's nobody that's happy with how things went in 14, 15. I mean, you know, with the circumstances, as Bill O'Brien told me repeatedly. He says, look, I'm going to tell you right now. He says, 14 and 15 are going to be our worst years. Now, Bill ended up being in Houston during those years, and James had to take over at that point. But to get them back to this point, we're year in and year out. We go into a spring practice now. Instead of hoping something, you know, that they can break through, they've done that. Now they've achieved a level of consistency. Can they make that next step? It's going to be a young team, though, this time through. You know, with the transfers, a lot of experience transferred out. Now, to me, that's experience that would have been depth. Maybe Juwan would have fought for a starting job. Who else may have fought for a starting job? I don't know if Aaron Monroe would make that class or not, to be honest with you. I mean, Aaron Monroe could have, but you've got to keep yourself on the field. The young players they have... I did not go to the weightlifting session last week because I was on doing this show at the time, but I did take time, what was it, 10 days ago maybe, Sean, where I went to one of the workouts.
Yep, week and a half. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you can see how lean, athletic they are. You also see the youth, too. I'm looking at him. I'm seeing a shorter. I'm seeing Daniel George. I'm seeing Noah Kane. I'm seeing, you know, I'm looking at Lance Dixon. I'm looking at Brandon Smith along with Micah Parsons. And when you look at Parsons, and Parsons is working with Lance Dixon in their particular drill, you're saying to yourself, Parsons is the more experienced guy. He's a sophomore. Academically, he's still a freshman. He's a sophomore. Amazing. But that's the kind of program you have now. And you know what? Somebody said, well, you know, the expectation's good. I'd rather have a program that's fostered some expectations. Now, you have to be realistic at times. So I'd like to see how they go through the spring, how certain things settle. Then probably 2 weeks into the preseason, I'll have a better read on what direction some areas are going in. But in terms of the talent, in terms of the athleticism, what I saw on display 10 days ago was the athleticism. It was impressive. Very athletic, quick, lean team. Now let's see how that translates into football. Let's see how the instincts translate. That's the next part. But that's where the football program has gone here. Alabama, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Washington, Penn State. The only six to each be ranked in each of the last three top 15 college football playoff final polls.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.